My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, marketing school listeners, this is a 20 to 30 minute segment of a full interview I've done with an amazing founder, entrepreneur, creative, visionary. You're going to get a ton of insights from this. And if you want to listen to the entire thing, go search for Leveling Up with Eric Sue. That's the entire podcast that you're going to find. So you get 20 to 30 minutes here. And if you want the whole thing, you can just search for Leveling Up with Eric Sue. And without further ado, enjoy the episode. All right, so this next interview is with YouTuber Jimmy Zhang. He's got 1.5 million subs. It's a wide-ranging conversation from, like, this guy talks about his porn addiction. This guy talks about dating, how anime helped with his life, how addiction ultimately can help lead to success, how he started getting into personal growth. There's a lot around dating as well. He has a lot of travel plus dating videos that he does. I mean, there's dating videos where he is going on a first date with a girl in the airport. It's a great conversation. And without further ado, here's the interview. Jimmy Zhang, how did you overcome anxiety to become a 1.5 million YouTube sub guy?
Overcoming anxiety. I feel like anxiety is so potent when I was a kid growing up. I think especially like as an immigrant child, I wasn't really brought up with a lot of American customs, you know, and it's just being just dropped in this world where it's like, first of all, everybody's speaking English. I'm not, you know, I came in when I was, I think like six years old. So already I'm anxiety upon just I can't even, I didn't even want to go to school. The first time I went to school, I cried.
You're a fob.
Yeah, I'm a fob. And then I was, so it, and it's like my parents didn't really know how to even talk me through anxiety, how to even cope with anxiety, how to deal with it. So I had no guidance on how to get through it. So it was really just, I think coping with it with like, really bad habits, really bad addictions, like video games. I don't know how explicit.
Go ahead, get explicit.
Porn.
Yeah.
Like I had like a porn addiction when I was a kid. Anime. Yeah. Defaulted to anime.
Yeah.
So it was like a lot of that, like growing up. So and then I would just go back to my little man cave back at home, right?
Yeah.
So like anxiety, it was like overbearing, especially at school, talking to girls.
Yeah.
Just overwhelm me with anxiety. So it wasn't until I started my YouTube and when I started reading books, I'm like, okay, how to over slowly like rewire my brain with like, okay, if this is the life, like it's kind of it reading the books helped me like paint a vision for myself in the future to like, oh, I don't have to live like this, you know? So like the videos slowly pull me out of my shell. But like the very first video I shot, I still remember, it was at Central Park in New York City, and like and it wasn't even like the crazy questions I would ask now. It was like some simple, like deep philosophical question, like, oh, what was your most life-changing story, right? Just simple. And even that was like, you know. And just, but I knew deep down that like the only way to get over, you know, my anxiety and my shyness is to force myself. There is no other way than just forcing yourself. That's the only way to get through it. Or else I am going back to my room and I'm throwing on Naruto and just yeah, jerking off and watching anime. You know, so it's like,
I love
like
that.
That is the only way to get out of it.
Yeah,
you know. And I kind of just full sent that.
Got it.
Until today, I guess.
I'm so, by the way, the jerky off was separate from the Naruto, right?
I mean, but sometimes some of the characters like Tsunade, okay, I'm not gonna like it might kick off a session.
you got a Sakura session.
Yeah. Eno was my crush back then.
Eno.
Yeah.
Eno was great.
Yeah. No, she was bad for sure. Especially in Shippuden. Now I wasn't. This wasn't the first. No, it was Shippuden. I want to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Are you open to talking about that? So the I don't have people usually come on and say there's like the anime gaming addiction, but the porn addiction. I've seen videos on this. I'm just like, how does that, like, how does one become diagnosed as like addicted to porn? Because like all guys in their teens, dude, they're like, yeah, they're all watching porn, right? But it's like, what counts as addiction?
Oh, you just do it every day. every single night.
Okay.
Yeah, it helps you fall asleep. You're bored? Let me open it.
I don't know if that's addiction. I feel like addiction is like people that are doing like 4 or 5 times a day.
Well, you get, I mean, when you're that young and you don't have hobbies, porn becomes a hobby.
Okay, all right.
That's watching fair. It becomes a hobby. Saving it, bookmarking it becomes a hobby.
Oh, you you actually bookmarked it. Okay, oh, not gonna lie, man. That happened back in the day too. Yeah, not gonna lie. I'm trying to make funny. I'm like, no, I did it too. Yeah, that's okay. So how did you overcome that?
Overcome. I would say you start to get older, you start to have better priorities in life. You start caring about things. That's way more. You start getting bored less.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump around a little bit because I'm also more interested in you, Jimmy. The how you grew up, your upbringing, and everything. You mentioned immigrant. You grew up in New York, you said?
Yeah, grew up in New York.
Okay, so tell us about your immigrant upbringing, because this is something I do with all the
with all the Asian people.
Yep.
Yeah, so I moved to New York when I was like 8, 9 years old from Boston. Not a lot of people know this about me, but I lived in Boston, Malden, for like 3 years, and that's where I learned English.
Yeah.
So by the time I got to New York, it was, was I still doing Chinese homework? I think I was. Yeah. So it would be schoolwork, and then I would come back home. And I would get these sheets where I just write this, like, just lines of, like, Chinese characters.
It's the boxes, right?
The boxes. I would just spend 3 hours writing lines of Chinese. I don't even know what, like, what's the purpose of this. Like, just to practice, to flex my handwriting, you know? And for every, like, 30 hours I put in, I get a... I get like a Yu-Gi-Oh booster pack or a deck of Yu-Gi-Oh cards. So I kept doing them.
Yeah.
I felt like a mouse.
That's funny.
Just on a hamster wheel with Chinese homework. And so I mean, I'm glad though, you know,
Dude, you're lucky you got the Yu-Gi-Oh. All I got was In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, you got In-N-Out? Oh,
we're
right.
Going to Chinese school, yeah. Wow. Or else I get beat. So yeah.
Oh, shit. So. Yeah. Well, you at least you got fed.
Yeah. Well, you got the cards that you can trade.
But I don't know. Really helped me with Chinese. Like, I think speaking Chinese like just helps me. Which I don't know if like just repeating characters helped me with my Chinese, but that's what I did. And I was, yeah, and I don't know. I feel like growing up too, I was, I'm trying to think, what was I, what was all the fights about? Right. Okay. So I was
with your parents.
Yeah. Yeah. This is with my parents. So I was I wasn't your stereotypical like Asian child growing up as well.
What
like,
do you mean?
Yes,
by that?
To like the video games and the anime and uh-huh. all the nerdy shit. But the like in school, I had straight C's and B's just throughout my entire life, high school, middle school, and. Yeah, so I was constantly met with like disappointment, and I think I talked about this briefly on like Eric's podcast, but I was like, they like my parents would blame a lot of their sorrow and grief on like me not doing well in school, and I had to cope then with video games, so I would, and then I would get beat for playing video games. Right, I wouldn't get beat for bringing back the C minus, but I would get beat for playing video games. But I kept playing video games because they were disappointed at my. So it was just this constant toxic cycle of like, oh, just and I didn't. The thing is, I really didn't care about the subject, or maybe I was bad. I just. Maybe I was not everybody is meant to, excel well on a test, remember information about the Revolutionary War, right? So yeah, I think maybe the school system failed me.
Well, let me ask you this. What were you good at in like
math?
Okay. No, not even that. Oh. Like, were you good at games? Were you good? Like, what were you at? What did you excel at?
Editing.
Okay.
I was playing video games and then I would record gameplay and I would edit gameplay.
Yeah.
I was really good at finding the music. I was really good at selecting the shots.
Yeah.
And yeah.
There's a reason I asked you that. So this is for any immigrant parent out there, right? So not that I'm a parent, but I'm just like, I wish my parents would have noticed that, like, I was really good at, like, games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my whole, like, if I noticed my kid was really good at editing, it's like, dude, okay, let's make you world-class at this. Like, there are parents out there that support their kids to become the best gamer that they can be. And it's like, man, if only our parents would have noticed, our immigrant parents, which I love, by the way. Like, sure. they did their best, right? But I think that's, like, the one missing component. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Cora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
There's nothing better than spoiling the dads, especially with $1,000. So what better way to spoil that father figure in your life than with a brand new wardrobe? That's why I am so excited about this new partnership. JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. It's an exclusive limited-time men's collection with a laid-back, down-home vibe. Walker's collection consists of casually cool styles designed with outdoor-inspired details guys love and versatile colors that work year-round. This Father's Day, iHeartRadio and JCPenney want to celebrate the father figure in your life by giving a $1,000 Visa gift card to put towards their favorite activity like a round of golf, concert tickets, fishing trip, etc., and a $500 JCPenney gift card to snag some of the exclusive pieces from the Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection. Enter now to make this the best Father's Day ever for the father figure in your life at iHeartRadio.com/Father's Day Sweepstakes. JCPenney, make it count.
Yeah, I think, because, I mean, their whole life they're just taught that going to school is the only route to success, right? My dad, he used to walk miles to school. Barefoot, I don't know if it's barefoot, but you know, that's what he would claim, that, like, you know, he would just fight, claw his way to school to get his education.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, now given the privilege of like a school bus, why wouldn't you, you know, just care about learning? But really, that's like, how, I don't even remember half the books. I just spark-nosed everything. You know,
times has changed. Yeah,
you know, there's so, and it's actually way better now if you have, if you specialize in a hobby or something interesting, as you're growing up, because that might be a specialized skill that the world needs, yeah, right? And you're genuinely like passionate about doing that, and as you get older, the world will need that skill as well. So it's like, you know, the world doesn't need you to be an English teacher.
Yeah.
The world might need an editor.
I think it's just like you said earlier, there's no one right way or wrong way to do something. Like, boxes don't really work. Like,
no.
We all kind of just are combination of different experiences.
Yeah, yeah. I actually think it's great that you found something at such a young age that you're really passionate about doing. Right. So it's like, if you find that, stick with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think 17-year-old Jimmy would say about 28-year-old Jimmy now?
17-year-old Jimmy.
Do you think 17-year-old Jimmy would have expected you to turn out like you did now?
Oh, man. It's a dream. 17-year-old Jimmy would... Honestly, he would probably put down the lotion and the porn now. he probably, oh, let me, oh, I get to be that later. I need to chill with this.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I'd probably, yeah. Hope, I want 17-year-old Jimmy, yeah, to start earlier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this leads well into, you talked about how there's this one Gary Vee video that changed your life. So what age did that happen? Like, when did you start getting into personal growth? Talk about that video too.
Yeah, I think this was around like 20, 21. Yeah, it was the video where he was just speaking to the audience about, you know, if you're between the ages of 22 to 27, this is your window of opportunity to strike. You know, you have all the pressures of, this is before you have all the responsibilities that come with life, like families, babies, and stuff like that. So, you know, you get to live in a garage or a basement with like four of your roommates. So, it just spoke to me, like, at how much freedom I actually have in this short period. And that's why, like, it translates back to like my dating theory. Like, this is a time for you to like have genuine freedom to like explore your options rather than like, oh, wow, like, I found a girl that I really like. I'm going to lock this down for the rest of my life.
Yep.
You know, like, there might be a girl that you have way more chemistry with and you're way more compatible with. And it's just because, yeah, this person makes you feel good. That means you're going to live the rest of, you know how many people get divorced? Like, isn't the divorce rate like 50-something?
It's higher than 50.
Right. Yeah. And what's the breakup rate? It's like, even everybody breaks. So it's like, oh, just get it. It's not, this isn't going to be your whole life. Anyways, I'm digressing a little bit.
You're fine.
What was my, what age was I?
Yeah. So what age did you start getting into personal growth?
Yeah, around like 19, 20 was a sweet spot, because I remember I was taking summer classes at Columbia, and like on the train ride from my house to Columbia, it was like an hour train ride. I would just have books. I would just be on the subway reading books. Mm-hmm. And I think that was also the summer where I cut out all of my high school friends.
Interesting.
Back in New York. And I was just in this weird transition period where I didn't have any close friends. And I was like starting to hang out with like my college friends, but I wasn't super close with them. Mm. They were in Connecticut and I was in New York. And then I would cut out all of my New York friends. So I was just reading, going to class, reading. And a lot of the books spoke to how I was really feeling inside. And I think around that time, I was also thinking about you, because I watched a lot of YouTube growing up, but it never occurred to me like it, like somewhere buried in like my head and my heart, I'd like to become a YouTuber, buried, right? Because it was just so important. But like those books kind of dug out the dirt that, you know, I put myself in.
Yeah.
So yeah, some good books around that time was like How to Win Friends and Influence People. It helped me start to become more, I guess, comfortable with talking to strangers, knowing how to foster a good relationship. What are some, what was the one by Napoleon Hill?
Think and Grow Rich.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? So the stack that you went through is the same stack I went through. You were probably like 21, 22, mm-hmm. 23, something like mm-hmm. that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, the Gary videos also really spoke to me. I forgot who, Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
Tony Robbins videos also really spoke to me.
You're on a personal growth tear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think the best part about it is I had literally no distractions back then. And it just... I don't know what it was just like. It is just every day. Like I got addicted to like reading all those things.
That's what it is. It's channeling the porn addiction, the anime, the gaming addiction into something positive, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't think I was jerking off as much during that. I don't think, you know, there was still some fire shows that came out 2015.
So some jerking here and there.
And, you know, some binging here and there. Yeah. Tokyo Ghoul came out that summer. Yeah, but yeah, there wasn't like, I finished a lot of the anime like leading up to that. Like Naruto, Dragon Ball Z, like I finished. So like most of the long-winded series I've already finished. So, coincidentally, yeah, I have more time on my hands.
Okay. So I actually want to come back to, this is interesting because I still talk to my elementary school, my high school friends.
Yeah.
which I'll get to in a second, sure. But, you talked about cutting off your high school friends.
Yeah.
Why?
Growing up in New York, you're surrounded with a lot of negativity, actually. Like New York City, it's kind of a cutthroat city. Even in high school, you know, people roast each other all the time, shit on each other. If you really can't take it, then it kind of consumes you. So I think my high school friends also, they were not making the same like leaps in bettering themselves. They were still going to the same rec center, the same YMCA, talking about the same things. They were just, I can't talk to her. I'm going to get a job this summer. I'm trying to apply for internship. It was just the same old conversations.
Yeah.
Whereas like I'm nose deep in like Tony Robbins books. I'm like, I have a future for myself. I have dreams and aspirations. Yeah. What are you talking about? No, I don't want to go to the rec center anymore, you know? So I think it was like a combination of like just wanting different things and just being surrounded with like negativity. I just really wanted to like cut all that out.
Have any of them tried to reach back out to you and recently?
Yeah, recently. Like actually just this past Thanksgiving, like the
just kind of just hit each other up on DMs and reconnected. But it was just more so reminiscing on like old times.
I think it's important to understand that like the Jim Rohn quote is like, you're the average of the five you hang out with most, right? Like, right, that is really true.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And I think I remembered that quote too from back then. And I was like, I was
he coached
up
Tony Robbins.
Yeah, I was doing my average. I was like, oh no, this isn't looking good for me.
Yeah.
I need a better average.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So is that why you moved to LA to upgrade the average?
No, well, no, I was in New York for up until 2020. So for the first like 4 or 5 years of like my YouTube career, I was still in New York. But I think I was starting to surround myself with just more like-minded people and more people in my industry around that time. Yeah. Got it.
And you, do you think moving to LA has been a net positive for you? Because this is away from home now, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say, well, I mean, for one, the rent is a little cheaper.
Yeah.
And two, I could go outside in the winter in New York. Oh my God. And come January, it's depressing.
Yeah.
It's Christmas is cute. They got the lights. But January, February, March, it's depressing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's... And also, I get to drive to places. Mm-hmm. So, like, lifestyle, it's a little bit... I like the lifestyle a little bit better in L.A.
Got it.
There's more creators out here. There's more creator friends. So, there's more, I guess, like-minded individuals.
Who would you say is in your circle now, right? So, we mentioned Sneeko earlier, right? He's coming up, it seems, on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Like, who do you hang out with now?
These days... probably... I don't know if you know this podcast called Under the Influence... yeah, them. And what about Suburb Talks? Have you heard of that? No. They're like kind of
older guys in the podcast space.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, they're my core group. Who do you know?
Who do I know? I mean, we know Alan, right?
Right.
Well, I hang out with like a lot of I try to mix it, right? There's like podcasters, there's YouTubers. Mm-hmm. But I hang out a lot with like business people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm very fascinated to like just be in those rooms and like just be in those conversations. I think there's a lot people could learn from like different industries.
Totally.
And I think when you start cross-pollinating like ideas is when you could really like bring something new to your industry. Yeah. So yeah, I'd love to be in, you know, those conversations.
Well, hey, we'll arrange that.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.